We've been talking about a lot about light, following God and looking to God for our strength, and don't light our own fire and expect us to, you know, end up in the right place going by carrying a wood fire around, you know, piece of wood on fire, getting through the scrub. Doesn't work. We need to look to God for everything. For everything that we need to look to God. But anyhow, my message tonight is called, "The battle is not yours, but the Lord's." The battle is not yours, but the Lord's. And I want you to open, please, to 2 Chronicles, right back in the beginning of your Bible. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, please. And verses 1 to 15. Now, it sounds like, oh, not that's not much. But it's a long reading. I tried to cut it down. But I couldn't cut anything out of this scripture between those 15 verses without degrading the message. So, tonight we're reading a long reading. But hey, I've always said when I get up here and I've got a bit of a long reading, nobody's going to complain if you're going to read a whole lot of Bible, are they? Are they? Are they? Are they? No. No. So, I can get away with it. 2 Chronicles 20, verses 1 to 15. I better get started, eh? Because we've got to read all through it. Okay, so here we go. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, verses 1 to 15. And we're talking about the battle is the Lord's, not ours. All right, God is going to look after us if we look to Him. Verse 1. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea, on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazron Tamar, which is in Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared, and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. They came from all over the place. He called a fast, and they came from everywhere. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? And in thine hand is..." Sorry, verse 7. "Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, for ever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us, as sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence," and in brackets says, "for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not." They didn't destroy that mob. God told them, don't destroy the Ammonites. They're part of your children, all right? So he told them not to destroy them. And behold, I say, now they reward us. We didn't destroy them. And now I say, how they reward us to come cast out us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord, with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. The Spirit of the Lord came upon this prophet fella, and he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Amen? Amen? Let's ask the Lord to help us to see what's in here for us tonight. Thank you, Lord, for this portion of Scripture that we just read, Lord, that's in your Word. And we know, Lord, that you tell us that in your Word we can get teaching. And your Word is to teach us and admonish us and guide us. And we pray tonight, Lord, that as we look at this Scripture and what it's about, Lord, that you would teach us, Lord, what you taught King Jehoshaphat, and all the people of Judah, Lord, to look to you, that the battle is not ours, Lord, but the battle is yours. Help us, Lord, not to forget that, to look to you in all circumstances, Lord. Everything that comes against us, Lord, we're to look to you. Bless the people tonight, Lord, with their hearing. Help me as I speak out, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I've been talking in a couple of messages recently about Christians who, because of personal trials and distresses, or perhaps because they've been led astray by false teaching, or because of any amount of adverse situations, they have taken their eyes off the Lord, and they are now experiencing a season of darkness. These Christians can become distressed to the point that, because of their tribulation, instead of walking in the light of God's word and the promises that come from that, they yield to the temptation to look to themselves and to their own devices, and they get tricked into walking in the light of a fire and the occasional shower of sparks that they've kindled for themselves. And you remember that my text for these messages on the last 2 weeks, this wonderful graphic couple of verses from Isaiah 50 and verses 10 and 11. Don't turn to it for time's sake. You'll remember them. You've been in the meetings. But Isaiah 50, 10 and 11 says this: "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light?" He's talking to Christians here, but he's saying, you're walking in darkness and you have no light. Something's wrong. What's the solution? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. "Behold, all the unbelievers now, behold, all ye that kindle a fire and compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have a mind hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow." People that walk in their own light that they've created for themselves instead of looking to God, there's disaster coming. Now, we talked about that in the previous two messages. These verses pretty well describe a similar situation to what confronted King Jehoshaphat of Judah. He was faced with an impossible set of circumstances that caused him to have to look to the Lord for a solution and not to himself. In verse 12 of our opening scripture, we read of Jehoshaphat's confession. He says, "O our God, we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do." We don't even know what we're going to do. What are we going to do about this? If we should find ourselves in such a hopeless situation today, then we must not forget to note the remainder of this verse, which reads, "But our eyes are upon thee." That's what King Jehoshaphat said. We don't know what to do. We've got a situation here, God, and we don't know how we're going to handle it. We don't know what we're going to do. "But our eyes are upon thee," he said. A careful consideration of this scripture should be helpful in lifting us out of any discouragement or any time of darkness we might currently be experiencing. In these days, it should come as no surprise that the Lord's faithful followers are being tried and tested as never before. We are continually surrounded by opposition and circumstances that would overwhelm the Christian if he were left to his own devices. However, verse 6 informs the trusting Christian that he has a listening ear of the one who is all-powerful. God is listening and God is looking. As he prayerfully sought the Lord's intervention, Jehoshaphat prayed in verse 6, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee?" The Bible assures us that there will never be a situation that the Christian has to go through alone. The Bible assures us of that. When confronted with unusual or devastating trials and testings, we need to always remember that the battle is not ours, but it's the Lord's. Verse 15 of our text tonight records that the Spirit of the Lord came upon the prophet Jehaziel, the son of the prophet Zechariah, and he delivered the word of the Lord, speaking forth assurance and comfort to the distressed king and the people of the cities round about. They'd all come there to Jerusalem. To any Christian today who genuinely fears the Lord and obeys his voice, we've been talking a lot about that too, but who nevertheless is walking in a period of darkness and who struggles to discern any light coming from the Lord, God speaks these same words of encouragement and comfort that he spoke to Jehoshaphat in the midst of the congregation of Judah. Verse 15, he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. God's. We're God's children. He's our Father. Amen? We didn't say that. He said it. Verse 3 and 4 of our text reminds us that in every difficult situation, when distressing news or circumstances overwhelm us, it is important that we remember to seek the Lord's intervention through prayer, and that we look to the Lord and ask for His help. Here we read in verse 3, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. They had to ask. Okay? Even out of the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. We must remind ourselves that we have a loving Heavenly Father who promises that He will never fail His own. He always has the right answer to every problem. We read in Philippians 4:19 that He is always able to abundantly provide for all our needs, which doesn't mean only our temporal earthly needs, such as our finances, food and clothing, but it also includes providing for our emotional and spiritual protection as well. Philippians 4:19 assures us, but my God is able to supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We all know that verse, eh? We think it's about money. Or food, you know. About material things. But it's about our spiritual and emotional protection as well. Verse 15 of our scripture tonight reminds us that as we look to God in our trials and distresses, as we lean upon Him and trust Him, walking in obedience with Him, looking to Him to light our way through the times of darkness, rather than looking to ourselves or other men, God will bring us into His marvelous light. Verse 11 reminds us, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. What you can see, alright? For the battle is not yours, but God's. And that sounds exactly what young David said to Goliath before he slew him, doesn't it? It does. Sounds exactly what David said to Goliath. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 47, don't turn there for time's sake, records David's boast in the face of his enemy. He said, all this is... Everyone was listening to him. The enemy side, his mob, he got up and shouted at Goliath. All this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, but the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into my hands. And He did. Amen. So, look to the Lord. Look to the Lord. The battle is not ours, it's the Lord's. Anyway, I'm going to close tonight with Psalm 46. You better open to Psalm 46 because I'm going to read all of it. I'm going to read a whole heap of scripture again. Psalm 46. There's only 11 verses. Okay. Let's read it. Psalm 46. Wonderful psalm. Let's read it and let's believe it. Amen. The Lord our God is our refuge and strength. And He promises to be a present help in our time of troubles. Because the battle is not ours, but God's. Psalm 46, verses 1 to 11, the whole thing. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. There is a river, the streams that whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. The heathens raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our strength. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations He has made, He hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spears in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still. Be still. Verse 10. Be still and know that I am God, He says to us. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Be still and know that I am God, He says. Be still and know that I am God. We got stuff coming in Australia at the moment, and He says, I will be exalted in the earth. Man thinks he's going to be exalted with all this nonsense. They're trying to get God out of everything. God says, I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. We've got to stand for God. We've got to look to Him in this time that's coming in upon the whole earth. We've got to stand with God, the God of Jacob. He is our refuge. Amen. And sealer. Now, if you don't know what sealer means, you know what sealer means? You do? That's what it means, Jeff. Unreal. Jeff knows what it is. Great scholar. A lot of people don't. You know, they really don't know, though. You know what they think it means. And I know what they think it means. They think it means a pause. Nobody knows for sure what it means, but it's thought to indicate a rest or a pause during the... They used to sing the Psalms, you see. They used to sing the Psalms, and it was a rest or a pause at the place in the Psalm where you have a spell, you see. Just pull up. Like when you're playing music, Cathy. You've got a rest note, see. Don't play anything there. For how many beats? And start playing again. All right. So same sort of thing. That's what it means. Well, they think it means that. Nobody really knows. But anyhow, God knows. But it's in there, so we read it out, eh? It's in the Word of God. So all of Scripture is given by inspiration of God, it says. It's part of Scripture, so I read it. Anyhow, we're going to close in prayer and be dismissed, eh? Hey, Lachlan, you want to pray?